Back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. In my time of life, before I got saved, if I ever tried to read the Bible, I would oftentimes try to read the book of Revelation. And then my dad or my stepmom or whoever would then correct me and say, "Don't start there." But then over the years, I've heard, you know, you get to minister and preach and teach so many different places. And a lot of people say, "I don't want to hear any message. I don't want to hear anything from the book of Revelation. It scares me." And I understand that to a certain degree. But as believers, you should want to read the book of Revelations, because the really overarching thing is we win. It's not a complicated book, really. Matter of fact, tonight I'm going to preach some out of it, but what comes out of chapter 1, all the chapters of Revelations, usually it says something and explains what it is. It's pretty simple stuff. The only problem you're running into is it's talking about stuff in heaven, which is hard to explain because John's looking at it from an earthly standpoint, and he's trying to explain it to us. And then he's also looking, you got to realize now, he's looking 2,000 years into the future from a person that's in a third world setting. And so let me say it this way. He's never seen a car. He's never seen a jet. He's never seen a microwave, a TV, any of these things. So he's watching the world end, but he's watching it from a first world person to a last world person. So there's a lot of depth there. Every time I go into the book of Revelations, I don't go in there saying, "God, just I want to be so deep, and I want these real deep things to come out." I go in there and say, "God, show me who you are, and show me what you're doing." I'm going to kind of take you. We're still in the Christmas theme, the real Christmas story. And every night or every week, every sermon that's supposed to be in this series, God's kind of developed something else. And tonight, I had a different title on it, and then it just didn't fit. I kept trying to put the title to it. And the first one was remember when you get early Christmas presents? Well, anyway, we would put so much pressure on my mom, right? Me and my brother. We'd put the pressure on, right? So somewhere between those last three or four days of Christmas, you know, she was just one, you know. So finally, you know, not the big one, not the best one, but a one, right? Sometimes, you know, sometimes she stood strong. But you got two knuckleheaded boys on the attack all the time. You know, we just went in waves, you know. Y'all never done that, probably. But it just didn't fit because it was too early in the place, and it kind of didn't want to. But then the Lord showed me another kind of snippet from 1980 something, right? 19 trees with tinsel on them, right? Trees with popcorn on them. Gaudy looking trees. Cool. The lights were so, like, you know, huge, right? But I remember my mom, she worked a lot of different shifts, a lot of different jobs to make the ends meet. And me and my brother would become secret spies, you know. And we'd get the tree, start getting a couple presents. We only got two or three presents, you know. So they were up under the tree. So what'd we do? We become experts at trying to remove the tape, right? You know, when, like, I was usually the watch out, like the lookout guy. So I would get right next to the living room with the kitchen, and my mom's room was at the very end of the hallway. So I'd stick my head out there, and I'm like, you know. But the thing about my brother was, we didn't always get along. Okay, we never got along, right? So what I always wanted him to do is, like, "Hey, you got to spy out mine too," right? But he didn't. He would look and pull his apart, and he'd look back, and he's like, "All right, I got him." He goes, "All right, what do we get?" He goes, I got this, and I got this. And I'm like, "What do I get?" "I don't know. I didn't look for you." "Well, go to the door, man. I'll check mine." He goes, "No, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that for you, man. I'll see you later. See you, man." So I'd always go in by myself and get caught. I'm sitting over, what are you doing? But I had the greatest defense mechanism that was ever built in. I was the baby child. Mom, Ronnie did it. I seen him do it. I just thought that was the right thing to do. You go get him. He's getting a whooping. That's right. It's good to be the youngest. Amen. All right. So I've set the stage for you. What we're doing tonight is we're taking a peek. We're taking a look at the gift before it comes. We're going to take a glimpse. We're going to pull the tape back. We're going to open up. We're going to open up the wrapping paper so gently. That's what's happening right here. John the Revelator. John has got, he's pulled back, and he's going to get a look. He's going to look into heaven. He's going to help us look into heaven to kind of see what's going on there, what we're going to receive, and then we close it back. All right? And it's a wonderful thing. I'm hoping I'm setting this up for you, but I love this idea, and I love the way it comes out like that, because literally that's what John does right here in his best way, is he opens up heaven to let you look at it. And I want you to know tonight, this is a spiritual book. This is a spiritual revelation. The revelation is Jesus. It's who he is in heaven, who he is to us today, but who he is in heaven, that's the revelation. What is to come? I'm bringing you some great hope tonight. Let me say this to you. If you were to draw your last breath tonight as a believer in Jesus Christ, and or if Jesus was to come out of that eastern sky tonight as a believer, this is going on in heaven right now. Amen. Listen, sometimes we get so caught up in this world that we think we forget that there is a spiritual realm that's operating fully around us. We just don't see it. So sometimes we get kind of desensitized to it. We get numb to it, and we get so focused on the temporal that we forget there's an eternal. So we're going to take a glimpse in tonight. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant Job, or John. Check that out. Shortly come to pass. It's good. Guys, I hate to tell you this, and you've already known this. Most of you in this room, we know this. Life is short. And the span of this whole thing is short. Things are going fast. He said it's going to shortly and must come to pass, right? It's going to come to pass. And he gave this to John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he, listen to this, verse 3, really focus right here with me and get this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Man, when you read this, understand, let hear it, and let the prophecy, let it soak into you, and we start living a different way if we trust in the fact that Jesus is just a breath away. He's just, we're going to step into eternity. Our physical bodies will remain here, and our spirit, man, will step right into this, what we're talking about tonight. And then there will be a day of resurrection, and our bodies and our spirits will meet in heaven, or meet in when we're all called up, okay? But I want you to get that. This is going to happen, all right? Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are at Asia, grace be unto you and peace from which is and which... I got to slow down right here. Grace be unto you and peace from which is, which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. I love what he does right there. He says the one that is, that which was, and it is to come. God, Jesus is operating always, all right? He's operating always. We got to really think about that, because sometimes we'll think, well, Jesus was here, and Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus was resurrected, but we don't believe Jesus is operating right now in the same capacity he was by way of the Holy Spirit, and he is. But he is one part of the Godhead, and he never stops operating. He never stops operating as the expressed image of God, ever, ever. He's always been. He was with the Word. He was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. That same Jesus. Man, I love that. We go right back in the book of Acts. This same Jesus, right, will return in like manner. That same Jesus, they seen ascend into heaven. That same Jesus is in heaven. He is waiting for the time. I could preach a million things right there, but I just want you to, I love the language right here. As he keeps reminding, you're going to see this is going to be repetitive, that Jesus is reminding that I'm always, amen? I'm the same. Don't think that there's somehow I'm not operating continuously in your lives and in this world. Because sometimes we think, man, it's getting so dark. And God, he's just like, man, God is operating just as much now as he ever was. You know what I mean? We can go back, back in the 40s or 50s or 60s. Or when this happened, that it was so much. God was just working. In 2021, God is still working on the earth. He's still working on the earth. There's just a different atmosphere of the church, but we'll get into that too. Let's just go a little bit further. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. Remember when we talked about that on Sunday? He's the first fruits of the dead. He's the first one to be raised from the dead. And the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us. You might want to underline that. It's better if you read it like this. Unto him who loves us. Right? He loved us. When it says loved us, he proved his love by what? The shedding of his blood. Right? Who unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Right there. See, he loves us. And you say, how do you know that he loved us? Because he died for us and washed our sins away. Our sins are gone because he loved us. There's times when we get in, like, well, I don't know, what has God done for me? That's one thing I hear all the time. Why does God allow poverty? Why does God allow people to get sick? Why did this happen to such a good person? Why did this happen to such a good man? That's not the case. The case is he washed our sins away. He washed our sins away. We're not trying to live here forever. We're trying to live for Christ as long as we can be here, because he took his blood and shed it for us that we might have eternal life. That's why. That's what's important, right? That's the most important thing. Man, he loves us. I wish we could get that and remember that no matter what we're going through, God loved us, not because what he's going to do, which is great, but what he has done already. Right? Because, man, that's what I like to remind. Man, I remind myself all the time, wait a minute, where did he find me? Where did he find me? He found me, Psalm 4? He found me in the pit, right? He pulled me up out of the miry clay. He pulled me up out of the pit and set me on solid ground. He set me. I couldn't get out of the pit. You couldn't get out of the pit. There was nothing we could do to get out of that pit. So Jesus died on the cross that we might have eternal life, that he could set us up on that firm, solid ground. I love that. Amen. I've got to remind myself, no matter what I'm going through, maybe we just got to remind ourselves, no matter what we are going through, it is to glorify Jesus. It is to. It could be hard life. I mean, I don't have to preach this in this room. Life can be hard. I mean, it can punch you. There's nothing going to hit you harder than life hits you sometimes. But in that, you've got to look around and say, wait a minute, I have to glorify Jesus through this to the best of my ability. Some days that won't be great. Sometimes it will be great. Sometimes it's just, I'll just help you right here. Some days it's just keeping your mouth shut in it. Sometimes it's just, okay, I can't say nothing good right now. I might as well just be quiet and just, you know, act like I've got it going on in my mind, right? Never mind. That's for me personally, probably. I've got to eat these things myself. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'll read that again. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. That's who we are. because he loved us, because he shed his blood for us. So guess what? That's supposed to be our operation. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Glory and dominion. You got to remember that. Keep saying, hey, man, I'm here to glorify God. I'm here to glorify God. I'm hoping it's going to be in a good way, but praise God if it's in a negative way. Praise God. I've got to do it there too. I've got to somehow find the strength and the ability to say, God, even here, you're good. Amen. Even here, I'll bless your name. Amen. I love Job where he says, even though you slay me, I will bless him. Amen. That's tough. Every time somebody says, let's do a Bible study on Job. No. I love Job, but I hear people say, oh, Job, I can do this, I do that. Man, Job, that's a tough one. Amen. And one of the greatest things when I get in the book of Job and start reading about that is when the friends come over. You would think they're coming to help. They probably thought they were. Hey, we can preach right there, can't we? We could preach both ways on that. I could preach both ways. There's been times when I needed help, and I thought the help that was coming were coming. I was like, all right, the help's here. And it was worse than the worst enemy. You're like, what did you come for? Right? I've been there. But I've also been the person who showed up. I'm preaching good right now. Y'all are going to have to get this right here. I've also been the person who's shown up when somebody else is hurting and try to say something spiritual and don't realize it, but I sound super spiritual to myself, but I'm doing more harm than I am good. That's all them brothers were doing. All the friends, that's all they were doing. They were trying to out-spiritual each other. What the bull down was, Job, there's no way God would ever do this to you if you hadn't done something wrong. So just go ahead and fess up. Right? And they would do it in these articulate and spiritual giant ways. But you know what's awesome about that whole story when you really get to thinking about it? At the very end of, you know what God did? He said, I'm going to put a curse on you guys. But the only person that can get it off of you, it's Job. Huh. Ain't that something? Down there at the very end, the person you've been railing on has got to pray for you. For you to be better. And that's all you, I bet every one of them are going, man, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. I wish I'd just kept my big mouth shut. I guarantee you, two of them probably had wives on the way out there. Said, just don't say nothing stupid when you get over there. You don't have to fix him. You just need to be there. Oh, some of y'all could help me right there. But I want y'all to get, man, that's so sweet right there. I've been both ways. I've wanted to fix it. Oh, and I've got over there, and I'm like, man, why don't you just be quiet? Just sit down there and say, hey, man, I'm here if you need me, right? Yeah. And he hath made us kings. Verse 7, behold, he cometh. Man, this is so good. This is just rich stuff. I hope you don't mind this. I just kind of lie. I read Ephesians or Revelations 2 during Sunday sermon, and I seen this, and I said, man, I've got to go see this. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. That's him, Jesus. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know what, Jesus, when he comes back, listen, we try to make this thing like God's going to sneak in and sneak out. God don't have to sneak in and sneak out. He didn't sneak out of the tomb. He showed himself for 40 days to over 500 people. When he comes back for his bride, he can come back any way he wants to. The world's going to twist it and turn it and kind of make it whatever they want. If you've watched the news, can watch something, you can watch the news and you go, did I watch what they're reporting? I watched this and I heard that. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So guess what? When the church is gone, they're just going to say something, you know. They're just going to say whatever. But I want you to know this. Even the ones who pierced him are there. Do you know who are the ones that are pierced him? The soldiers. But guess what? Everybody that didn't accept him. We all pierced him. We all had part of his crucifixion. Crucify, crucify, crucify. Amen? Every person there is going to be like, oh my goodness. That was him. Amen? And listen, this it goes all the way down through history. It goes all the way down through time. There's going to be people who say, you know, that I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe. I love to be around atheists. I really do. Amen. Atheists, they are some of the funniest people I've ever been around. You know why? They hate God so much, and they'll prove to you that he doesn't exist. I'm like, my goodness, friend, I've been the same way about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny my whole life, but guess what I don't do? You don't see me jump the rail down there at Santa Clausville, down at the mall, headlock the guy and go, he's a phony! Right? You know why? Because I just simply don't believe. I just don't. When I see that big Easter bunny walking down through there, I don't go, oh, look who's coming down the bunny trail. I don't. You know what I do? I go, that's a dude that needed a job that, you know, that requires him to wear a bunny suit. Right? That's it. I don't believe in any of it. I don't believe in the tooth fairy either. You know why? Because I've been the tooth fairy before. A lot of us have. Don't tell everybody. I got one, I'm ruining them. But I'm just telling you, that's the way it is, right? So guess what? When these people, I will prove you wrong. You've got to take that cross down. You've got to take that nativity scene down. You've got to take it down. Why are you so scared of it? You know why they're scared of it? Because God is a convicting God. God designed them, made them, molded them. He made them just like you. And when they're under conviction, you either got to run to it, run from it. You got to accept it or you got to fight it and reject it. Amen? There are going to be a lot of people. When Jesus comes, they're going to fall on their face and say, oh, I remember the times when all I had to do is surrender. All I had to do is fall on my face and cry out to a holy God who was just trying to save me. Amen. That's all you got to do. There's going to be a lot of people in that line. Verse 8, I love what here Jesus speaks in Revelation. It's the first place he speaks to. He is the revelation. It is Jesus. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I am the A to the Z. Listen, when somebody says, what is Jesus to you? You tell him he is the A to the Z. He's everything. He is the beginning and the end of me. He's the beginning and the end of you. He is the beginning and ending of everything. He's everything to me. Amen? He is everything. Saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen? Which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. We got a great gift coming, and John gave us a peek. He's coming. The Almighty, the one that was, the one is. Amen? He's coming. Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. John chapter 9. I, John, who also, let's look and see, how do we get this great revelation? Watch this right here. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Underline that. Underline that word right there, tribulation. Your companion in tribulation. Don't be upset when you're going through tribulation. It's the opportunity for you to connect with God. If you're going through tribulation, if you're going through trouble, if you're going through pain, heartache, whatever, you're there. Seek the Lord in it, okay? It's a spiritual time. It's a spiritual place. A companion of tribulation in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner because the word of God and because of the testimony that he had that he seen Jesus. Jesus will get you in trouble. If you're not in trouble some sort with some people over Jesus, you're just not doing it right. I'm being honest. You're going to be in trouble with somebody. And if you ain't in least trouble with your family, amen, that should be a big indicator, amen, at first or at some point. They should be like, man, this guy, she just won't be quiet about this Jesus. Always saying they're praying for me. Always wanting to tell me that I need to come to church. Always wanting to say that they want to share Jesus. Just come to church. Oh, just please be with me. It means more than any ever holiday. What would you want for Christmas? What would you want us to do? Just come to church with me. Sit there beside me. That would mean more than anything, right? But we need to get it. We need to be in a little bit of trouble with Jesus. Matter of fact, in the time we're living in, if you're really going to do it right for the word and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, you're going to get in more and more trouble. we're going to get more and more trouble. We are. You think this is going to end with one of the first things that were shut down, one of the first things closed? Oh, we need to get rid of them churches. Oh, the places of prayer, the places of holiness, the people of right. Oh, we got to shut that down. No, wait a minute. What? Not in my lifetime. Not in my lifetime what I thought. Man, you're going to get arrested or you're going to get fined for going to church. I thought, man, maybe in California. Maybe in New York City, but not in Kentucky. Oh, I'm sorry. I must be stepping on some toes. I'll just keep on. Which I didn't think in my lifetime you'd find a cop in rural Kentucky who would say, well, you're going to have to disperse. I just thought, man, Kentucky, you can hit a rock. You could throw a rock into Kentucky from here. I thought, man, we can't do it in Kentucky. It's everywhere. As we progress on, we're gonna come up against, right now, being honest with you, we're just so close to the church being a place of hate speech than anything else. We're that close. And if somebody, anybody was to come in and take these men and put them out, they'd be like, oh, look, these people, they hate. We got to cancel that. If you don't think we're close to that, you're crazy. We're close. And what are we going to do? That's why we talk about these books, we read these books, we preach about these books, and we just glaze over this stuff. Why was John in the Isle of Patmos? He was in prison. Can Jesus help us when we're in prison? Can he help us? It's awful quiet in here. I must be doing my job tonight. Watch this right here. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. Well, and a sound of a trumpet. Wait a minute. On his worst, I guarantee this is not a good day. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's in prison. He says, you know what? It's the Lord's day. This is the day I usually worship. He got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He got in the Spirit in prison. We have a hard time getting in the Spirit at the house of God. We've got so many distractions and so many things we worry about, we can't even hardly get hooked up in here when there's a whole room full of us who love Jesus. Here's John on the Isle of Patmos, probably got guards, probably got nobody. Oh, man, he's pathetic in there by himself. Starts praying and seeking the Lord. People tell me this all the time. I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to know more about the Lord. I want more of Jesus. If you do, you will. If you hunger and thirst for Jesus, you shall be filled. That's what the Bible says. So don't tell somebody tell me they hunger and thirst. Praise God. When you hunger and thirst, you're going to eat and drink. You're going to eat and drink at the first opportunity. Amen? Well, I just can't get, praise God. When I first got this book, it looked 10 foot tall. I'm serious. When I first got the Bible and I knew I was supposed to preach, I'm looking at it, I'm going, how in the world can a stupid man like me do anything with that? And all it says is put it in, I'll take it out. You put it in, I'll take it out. You know what? That's all I want to do is put it in. I put it in, and the Holy Spirit goes, shh. He just pulls it out. That's it. I'm going to read verse 10 again because it's so sweet. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That's what God sounds like. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are at Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea, even to Laodicea, the last church age, which is us. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He's standing there. He's clothed in white all the way to his feet. He's got a golden sash that runs all the way across here. He's looking right at Jesus in heaven. This is who we're going to see when we get there. Because he was seeking the Lord on the Lord's day and God had something for the churches, I love what John does here. This is amazing. You can know this is in the Bible. You can know this is true because when John got this, he didn't go, God told me to tell you to do what I wanted. And the first thing he says is, guess what? I seen Jesus and this is what he wants. Anybody else, if you know it's false doctrine, you know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to come away with that and says, I'm the leader. Y'all got to follow. You know what this guy does? He said, the same one I walked with for 3 years, the same one that I seen crucified, the same one I seen resurrected, is the same one I seen in heaven. Whew, that's good stuff. Amen? Let me finish that with the golden sash right there. And his head... verse 14. His head and his hair were white like wool. Hallelujah. As white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. That's Jesus. I get this thought. I wonder what God looks like. I wonder what Jesus looks like. Well, you got an eyewitness account in chapter 1 of Revelation of a guy standing there looking at him going, he's got white hair, he's got brass, okay, so he looks like he's been in a furnace, all right, his eyes are like fire. God, I can't wait to get to heaven. No, man, I'm serious. I can't wait to get there. Man, we can act like somebody in here. We do. We act like we put on in here. We come in here and hold it together. Man, I can't wait. I hope I'm next to some of you in heaven. I want to hear y'all cry. I want to hear y'all plead. I want to hear y'all shake. I want to hear that voice. I want to hear it tremble. I want to hear what some of y'all sound like when you're in the presence of God. I've been in the presence of God with people that you thought they were business people. They were rich. They had stuff you couldn't even imagine. You thought, man, they're sophisticated. They got college degrees. But when they got in the Spirit, they cried out to God in such a way that you would go, "Whoo, who was that?" That was somebody who didn't care. Man, I can't wait till we get in the presence of God and we don't care anymore because we're in the presence. We're going to be like John. We're going to fall on our faces and we're just going to shake before God. I love being in the presence of God when I can't do anything that I want to do. And it's been too long. It gets too long in between those things now because I am in control most of the time. And that's sad. And that is sad. And his feet, verse 16, and he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. That's who Paul ran into on the road to Damascus. Just think of the worst. I mean, have you ever looked into the sun? This is my worst experience. I was going up Highway 64 from Polk County to Cleveland. I was driving over there one time, and it was in autumn. It was right there at the start of fall, and I was coming up over, and all of a sudden, there was this one hill that you got to drive. It's almost like a 30-degree hill, and you're going up like this, and the sun had just got right at the top of that hill, and it was like level with your eyes, and there were cars going all over the... And I mean, you're just like... I mean, it... burn. You're like, man, that thing's bright. There's been a couple times where I've been to Florida. I'm Irish German. And I'm down there in Florida. I'm like, man, I've been down here too long because the sun's like, no, I'm sorry. Some of y'all don't know what that means, but I burn. I go from white to red and there ain't no in-betweens. The sun's too bright. But you know what? If we looked in that sun, Jesus outshines the sun. Man, the strength of the sun. You can launch you can launch every nuclear weapon that's on the face of this planet into the sun, and it wouldn't even make a hiccup. The sun would go, that's what I do all day, every day. That has no effect on me whatsoever. It's like nuclear bombs going off here every day, all day. Boy, praise God. We don't have a big understanding of what heaven's going to be like. We think we're going to walk in there and it's going to be like church on Sunday. It's going to be, that first 1,000 years is going to take some getting used to. Amen? It's going to take some getting used to. I love this right here. Watch this right here. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, verse 17, as dead. This is a man who walked with him. This is a man who's seen him crucified, seen him resurrected, walked with him, knew with him, had a relationship with him, and the very first in the spirit, as soon as he seen him, he fell like he was dead. All right, I don't know. I'm going to ask you a question. Does this not make any of you guys a little bit more hungrier for God? When I read this and started preparing, I'm thinking, God, what's wrong with me that I'm not hungry to see more of you like he did? And I know somebody's like, man, well, what kind of church would that look like? Well, what would people say about us? Do you think John was thinking about what anybody was thinking about him? I bet some guards got saved. I bet some of the guards that were closest to him went, golly, I want some of that. Hey, man, I'd like to see what's going on with that. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. This is Jesus talking on the rest of the way. This is good right here. This is just red letter. This is Jesus speaking. This is the gift that we're going to get when we hit heaven. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And because he's alive, you're alive. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You don't have to go into death and stay there, and you don't have to go into hell and stay there, because Jesus took that for you, and he has the power over those. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand are the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angel of the 7 churches. The 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. I want to tell you this. There are not just 7 churches in God's kingdom. There are 7 church ages, and we are in one of those church ages right now. We are in the kingdom of God. When you read this book, every time a church gets a reward from God, those rewards are going to be given to us as well. Amen. You remember when we sing that song, I got a new name written down in glory and it's mine. Oh yes. That when, see, Jesus will take an onyx stone, a white stone, and he will pull you individually and say, this is your name in heaven. Whew. That's one of the rewards we get. Amen. The first reward we'll get, we'll eat from the tree of life. He will walk us over because he has given us access where we didn't have access to the tree in the garden. He will walk you to that tree, and he will say where he says, don't eat of this tree. He'll say, here, eat of this tree. That tree Adam ate of made you guilty. I made you righteous because I hung on that tree, and you're going to eat of this tree. And the moment you eat of this tree, we ain't never dying. You ain't never going to die. Whew. That's going to be going on in heaven, man. That's just 2 out of 7 things that's going to happen to you when you get in heaven. Man, I'm ready to go. I'm excited. But while I'm here, the whole day, all day long, God has kept pressing on my heart. Have a little excitement, a little more pace to your service for me. A little more, act like things are happening in this world that are drawing us to the end, because they are. We need to execute a little bit more. We need to get a little, what's the word I'm looking for right there? Ugh, that was close. It needs to be important to us. Isn't it, huh? Passionate, that's a good word. Convicted, that's an even better word. That would probably drive us there. It's just going to be, it's important. We got to have an outlook like, if we do believe it's at the end of the time, and if we do, our time's running out, we should have a little bit more about us than just worrying about us. Amen? Let's all stand.